our Father and our God, hallowed be thy name. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and the power and the glory, majesty and dominion, all is thine. Ah, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor comes from you, Lord. Ah, thou art the reignest over all. Your hand is power. Your hand is might. Your hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, O Lord, we thank you and we praise your glorious name, and we declare today that the entrance of your word brings light, gives understanding to the simple. We receive that light, we receive that understanding even now in Jesus' name. To God be the glory. Amen and amen. Well, welcome everybody today. I'll be speaking. It's a series, actually. It's going to take me a while to get through this, and the Lord has prepared it for us. You know, another buffet, if you want to call it that, that the Lord has prepared for us. Praise God. It's called According to the Power That Works in Us. This is part one today. And if you look up at the top of the screen and see the title, the way it is written, what comes to mind? You know, you can put it for me in the chat room. What comes to mind? The way the title is written, According to the Power That Works in Us. This is taken from Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. You know, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. Now you can see right away there, it says he's able. So God has the capacity to do and to exceed. And not just barely exceed, I mean exceed it abundantly. Anything that we can ask or think. So if you can think it, God can do it. And even more. Praise the Lord. That's so powerful. You know, according to all that we can ask or think. But the secret is, it is according to the power that works in us. That's the secret. You know, even though God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, but it's to the level of the power that works in us. We'll be talking about that. And if you notice, I don't know if anything caught your eye in the title. Power is spelled P-O-W-E-R. I spelled it like that for a reason. I love acronyms. Those of you that have been around us for a while, you know I love acronyms. And you're getting another one in this series. Praise the Lord. So we'll be talking about that. Powerful, powerful subject. Praise the Lord. Now, there is a principle that I want to share from this place here that God puts in this text. You know, this principle, sometimes we forget it. You know, when we quote this scripture, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. Well, there's a divine principle behind this, you know. Yes, this principle is, you know, you can even think of it as a spiritual law. The power, you know, of God in us, you know, determines the level of God's manifestation that we can see. It's that simple. God's manifestation in our lives is proportional. You might think it that way. You know, proportional to the power, to God's power that's actively working in us. Now, worketh in us is a present continuous tense. It's working all the time. That's a power. Now, God is unlimited. And I believe that everybody, every believer knows that. And every believer believes that, that God is unlimited. He's omniscient. He can do anything. He has all powerful. He's omnipotent. There's nothing, absolutely nothing that God cannot do. We know that. However, in this series, we will find out that the way that works in us, the operation of God in us, or the expression of God, the power of God in our lives, is connected to, the greatness of the things that God can do for us is connected to the level of His power. You say, well, you're saying the same thing. That's redundant. No. If you listen to this message, you'll figure it out. There is a yieldedness in us that is required, to increase our spiritual capacity, to allow God to walk through us. There is a, think of it this way. There's a smaller hose that's attached to the faucet or the tap, in the yard, and the level to which that water can come out, or the volume, it's limited by, it's constrained by the size of that hose. Now, when you get a bigger hose, and you get more power that can come through there, more water can come through there. You see that, like when the power department comes, they don't use this tiny, bitty little hose. They have these giant hoses that they will use. Praise the Lord. So in the same way, the hose, just like the hose, what's going through that hose, that's, you get more through it, increase the size of the hose. If you think of a, when you're moving from one place to another, you're moving, to a new house or whatever, and you need to rent a truck, say a U-Haul truck or whatever. You can rent a small truck. You can rent a bigger truck or whatever. And there's more stuff that you can put in the bigger truck than you can put in the smaller truck. And you can get there quicker. Maybe with the smaller truck, you'll need 4 or 5 trips. Maybe with a bigger truck, you might need 1 or 2 trips. Just think of this concept in real life. It's like, you'll get there, but you can get there quicker. You can finish that job quicker. And the same thing, you can trickle it down to anything. Even if you didn't get a truck, you could use your car. Try to move your house. You can see how difficult that would be. Now this power that we're going to be talking about, it's not human power that we're talking about. It's not human power. When the Lord says, not by power or by might, he's talking about human power or human might. And we can read that in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. He said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power. We're talking about physical might, human power. It's not like that, but by my spirit. But the spirit of the Lord does have power. The spirit of the Lord does have might. The Lord has that spirit of God. But we're not talking about human power. We're talking about Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power. It's in us as believers, but we can develop that power. And what God is going to do through you, for you, And what you can accomplish is going to be proportional to the level of that power. And that power also, you know, can be developed and increased mostly by the level of yieldedness that we have. I've talked about kinks in the hose and cleaning out the hose and so forth like that in the past. The more clogs that are in that hose, the less the less water is going to come out. You can clean all that out. You know. Now, according to the power that worketh in us, the greatness of God, you know, is revealed to us from generation to generation. We've seen it throughout the scriptures. You've seen it in your life as well. You know, let's look at some scriptures that talk about the exceeding greatness of his power. You know, now, exceeding is another word that we're considering here. You know, that means going above and beyond. It says something exceeds, you know, it goes beyond. You know, so let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. In the use of this word exceeding. When you talk about God, everything is always exceeding. Power is goodness always running over. Not just barely enough. It's exceeding. And this book of Ephesians, powerful, you know, in instructing believers to look for that power, to look for that spirit of wisdom and revelation, to look for that knowledge, you know, of him and so forth. And he says here, I'm going to read it from the place where he was praying for them from verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love that you have towards all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, glory to God, and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's so deep. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Now, not just what is the greatness of his power. No. But what is the exceeding greatness of him? I mean, it's going above the greatness of his power toward those of us who believe according to the working. See that statement again? According to the working of that mighty power in us. It's the same thing we say in Ephesians 3 and 20. It is according to the working of that power. Let me digress a little bit and let's talk about how great his greatness really is before we talk about according to that power that can allow that greatness to function in us or through us. Talk about his greatness for a bit. You know, I mean, we use words, we can use superlatives such as greatest, highest, you know, and so on for the Lord at times. It's greater than the greatest, it's higher than the highest, and all this stuff. And that's great, and that's true. But you see, we can't really quantify the Lord, you know, by words. Or you can't. There's just no way. Even when you say he's the greatest, that's still limited. When you say he's the highest, that's still limited. Because, and that's why, since we can't think of him that way, then we say that he's greater than the greatest. Well, you know, and it's higher than the highest. Yeah? And so when people run out of words, well, they just say the highest or the most high. You know, I just say it that way because you can't really, you know, these are human minds. We cannot comprehend the greatness of God. Think about it. The way I love to say it is that the entire universe is inside his belly. That's it. You know, entire universe. In other words, God's bigger than the universe. And let's think about it. But as big as he is and as great as he is, he's mindful of us. Psalm 8 says, what is man? You're the one that's created all these things, incredible things. What is man that you are still mindful of him? Well, you know, that's because that's the way he chose it. And we're not going to frustrate that grace. If God chose me to be his son, I'm not going to make myself any less. As he already chose it. You know, it was his choice. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Psalm 65 verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto you, that he may dwell in your courts. God made the choice. You know, Jesus also told them in John 15 and 6, he said, look, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you. Praise the Lord. So when the Lord has chosen us, chosen you, we ought to worship every day. Say, wow, Lord, wow, why did you do that? But I thank you that you did it. You didn't have to die for me. You didn't have to do any of these things. But yet you did. And so I am thankful, grateful eternally for what you did, for your choice. And so that's greatness. We can't even comprehend it. So great. So great. So great. You know. Now, when the Lord talks about greatness of his power towards us, it's really Christ in us. There's another scripture in Colossians 1 and 27 that says, Christ in us is the hope of glory. Now, if we don't have Christ in you, you're actually outside the domain of this lesson. Because this domain, this lesson is for those who have Christ within them. But there's an invitation that's open to everybody. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now, Romans 8 and 11 says, if the Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then that Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead will also quicken your mortal body. There's something that the Holy Spirit activates in us. You know, by the same Spirit that dwelt in you, which raised Christ from the dead. Activation is important. Now, let's talk about the power. That power. I will yet give you an acronym for that power. I haven't gotten there yet. But let's talk about this power. It's already inside of us. It's not that the power is not available. It's not that the power is not there. It's a matter of activation. Paul told Timothy, look, this thing, this power, it's already on you, latent. You know, from the time that we laid hands and prayed on you, it's already on you. But you got to stir it up. You got to stir up the power that's in you. Laying on of hands, the power already came. But you got to stir it up. Now, many of us have that power in us already. You know, we have received the Lord as our Lord and Savior. We're committed to following him. We're walking in the light. On top of that, we receive what's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Oh my God. Luke 24 and 49. That is so powerful. And you shall receive power. Acts 1 and 8. And the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And so as many as have the Holy Spirit that have come upon them, they have received that power. Now, if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, then you have that power. But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, then he is none of his. But if that Spirit dwells in you, then you already have that power. Well, how come then that power is not operating like it should? Well, we have to understand the nature of that power, you know, because, you know, God doesn't do things, you know, outside his nature. He just doesn't do it. You know, many times we have things from God, but we lack knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people suffer or perish, a very strong word, destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge of what? Well, knowledge of the, in this case, in this lesson, knowledge of the power that's already in you. Now, not head knowledge, it's not that we don't know it, but you know it, you know, I mean, you know it because it's something you experience on a daily basis and you can activate that power. You can put it to work for you. Now, unfortunately, because we're in this cage of flesh or whatever you want to call it, you know, the flesh by itself is the greatest limiting factor to the power of God. Because God is a spirit, you know. But the flesh is the flesh. And the spirit and the flesh, they're contrary one to the other. So this flesh is the greatest limiting factor, the power of God. So we must know the difference between the nature of the power of God and the nature of the flesh in which we are. Now, the flesh does not like the things of God. The flesh hates God. God also hates the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. Now, however, if a man knows how to yield that flesh, yield the mind, yield the spirit, and be fully yielded to the Holy Spirit, then it can have tremendous power. Now, that power operates in light. Now, never in darkness. We cover that series. Never in darkness. In fact, a person that is a full, complete channel of light, you know, miracles will be breaking forth around them. They don't even have to do anything. They don't have to say anything. Because the light, when it comes, the light that shines in us, that light is a force that dispels darkness. We're told that, you know, when the darkness and light are together, light always dispels the darkness. We know that, even in natural life. You know, so we must recognize that the nature of God is completely light. Our God is light, in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. When we walk in his light, we also can receive and experience that nature of God. Well, it is holy power too. You know, it's resurrection power. It's holy power. Paul said, you know, that I may know him, Philippians 3 and 10, and the power of his resurrection. The power that breaks chains. The power that revives things. You know, the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. You know, Jesus can restore dead things to life all the time. He does it. That's resurrection. Resurrection is something that's already dead. Come back to life. Now, that could be, you know, our lives spiritually dead and have nothing going on. It could be physically somebody's dead. God can raise them to life. It could be your dreams that are dead. It could be, you know, the calling of God. That's never really dead, but it could be dormant. Yeah, and all of these things. Yeah, but the way Jesus sees it, he said, look, it's only sleeping. It's not dead. Let me wake it up. Praise God. The power that restores hope. Power that can change your story. Power that can overturn what we call impossibilities. There's nothing impossible with God. We know that. And not, and to you also. Jesus said, you know, if you can only believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Praise the Lord. If you believe, you know, we already know, you know, that there is nothing impossible with God. But if you can also believe, you know, your faith can approximate the power of God in some dimensions, because Jesus said it himself. If thou canst only believe, you know, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Well, if nothing is impossible unto God, and nothing is impossible unto the one that believes, it means when we are operating in faith, you know, and we can almost be like we're acting like God. Praise God. Can have the same power, you know, that the Lord has. Or if we're yielded enough, power can flow through us in an unlimited fashion, limited only by our yieldedness. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23 says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things. Now, that's not some things. That's all things. Now, but the level of which all things are possible is the level to which you believe. Glory to God. The power that walketh in you. Now, it's also transforming power. In Romans 12 and verse 2, he says, this power is able to transform our mind, to bring us into a state, a new state, from the deadness and things of the world to spiritual power. God's power will change even our character. That's right. You know, the Holy Spirit comes to remove that timidness, gives you boldness. Peter was a guy that was timid, afraid to stand up for Christ when Christ was being arrested. And a maid was asking, you look like one of his disciples. I think we've seen you with him. He said, no. one version even says he began to swear. I don't know the man. He was afraid that he might be taken, you know, with Christ. And they didn't know where he was headed, that he would be killed or whatever. He was afraid for his life. This same Peter, you know, just a few days later, and he received the Holy Ghost. My goodness. it was something else. Something else. The difference the Holy Ghost makes in just a few weeks apart. He stood up and indicted a whole nation. He said, you crucified the Lord of glory. But this same Christ whom you crucified, God has anointed him to be Christ over all. This same Jesus told them stuff. I mean, speech was so powerful. Rendition of it and everything. People would say, what shall we do to be saved? In one moment. Yeah? Just one moment like that. I preached that powerful. 3,000 souls. Saved and even baptized. Somebody who just a few weeks before was ashamed. You know, afraid is really the word. Afraid, yeah, that's what the power does. Yeah, it's also power, you know, that can overcome any situation. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you, that's the power that's in you, than he that is in the world. This power, you know, is given to us to overcome temptation, to overcome fear, overcome adversity, overcome even all other mental attacks and different things the devil may bring, you know. So, this power is also, you know, energizing power. It's a quickening power. It comes even from the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, look, the Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. So when you take the Holy Spirit and the Word, now the Holy Spirit without the Word, that's not going to happen. Because when Jesus said, and the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify of me. That's the Word. So Holy Spirit in your life will always lead you to the Word. Jesus already said that. Holy Spirit will testify of me. So when you combine the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, you get what is written in Hebrews 4 and 12. It's powerful. Yeah, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's powerful. And it's alive. It's not passive. It's not dormant. It's not dead. It's quick. Quick means alive. You know, and it moves, it stirs, it produces, it manifests the glory of God in our lives. Now, but there are some things that can restrict that power. Blockers. You know, I love to talk about enablers and blockers. You know, there are some kinks, some debris, and different things that can restrict that power. In the book of Mark chapter 6, we read in verses 5 and 6, that Jesus could not do some mighty miracles, mighty works. Couldn't do it because of the unbelief that was so thick in the air. Now, how can Jesus not be able to do something? He can do everything. He can do anything. But he couldn't. In this case, he just couldn't. Because there was so much unbelief in the air. It was so thick. You cut through it with a knife if you want to say that. I mean, Jesus, he felt it and he couldn't do it. And he told them, look, a prophet is without honor in his own house only. He could not do mighty works there. Why not? We're already told that his power is great, exceeding great. I mean, exceeding abundantly. But why couldn't he do mighty works there? So the first limiting factor that we find is unbelief. He said, because, you know, the people, because he marveled at their unbelief. He marveled. The reason he couldn't do the mighty works there was their unbelief. He marveled at their unbelief. And that their unbelief actually restrained God's power. God's power was present, but the manifestation of that power was withheld and obstructed by their unbelief. Yeah, unbelief couldn't do anything. Couldn't do mighty works. Maybe he did some few works. Said except that he laid hands on a few people and he healed them. But there was some real mighty stuff that he could have shown them, but he couldn't because of their unbelief. So unbelief is one of the great blockers, you know, that will block, you know, the power of God. Doubt and so forth comes together with unbelief. Jesus was speaking and teaching the people how to do great things. You know, how do you do great things? You know, we're not talking about, you know, when you are just praying for forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins is powerful, but we, you know, people can't really see it. You know, one time, you know, the power of God was present to heal in Luke chapter 5, you know, And there was the people bringing in their friends, you know, I mean, some friends bringing in their friend through the roof and everything. And when Jesus saw them, their faith, the faith of the people that brought the man in, he said to the man, you know, of the palsy that's on the bed, you know, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee." That was the first thing he said. He didn't even talk about healing the man. And everybody started to grumble in their hearts and say, "Who is this man that's blaspheming like this?" You know, I mean, who can forgive sin but God? You know, you say, well, you know, they didn't know who was there. I say, who can forgive sin? You know, and then they said, well, when they began to reason and doubt it in their hearts, so Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, he now said unto them, "Why do you reason these things in your heart? Which is easier?" You know, which is easier? Is it easier for me to say, "Thy sins are forgiven thee," or "Take up thy bed"? I mean, rise up, take up thy bed and go home. Which one do you think is easier? Well, it's definitely easier to say, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." That's easier because you can say it and nobody knows if anything happens or not. You just say it, you know. But on the other hand, it's actually more difficult to say in the presence of everybody, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk." What if the man didn't rise up? So Jesus is saying, look, I said one easy thing, you guys are marveling. Well, okay. In order for you to know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. Now he now turns to the man that's on the bed and say, "I say unto thee, rise up, take up your bed and walk." Now you see how the power is flowing. The power of the Lord, we are told, was present to heal. Now, we don't know how many people were healed that day. But we know this man was, because of the faith of his friends. You know, and the power can work in many dimensions. Many, many dimensions. Now, unbelief, though, will shut it down. The next thing, you know, that will restrict the power is spiritual, you know, just, I don't know, neglect. We don't pray, you know, absence of worship and all these things. You know, it's just not there. And, you know, Jesus demonstrated the need for prayer. He would get up early in the morning, rising up a great while before day. You know, the disciples would be looking to him, looking for him. He's already somewhere praying, you know, but, you know, the disciples were not praying. But when it came time to do some real stuff, though, well, they couldn't do it, you know. So, spiritual neglect. "Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead." We cover that series. And Christ will give you life. Prayerlessness, you know, is a destroyer of the power of God. When we do not spend time in prayer, when you are praying, it's not just vain repetition. Jesus, you know, tossed that one out of the window. It's praying the word of God. You're reading the word of God, you're meditating, you're speaking it back to him. And the word of God is forming something in you. Yeah? The Bible says this word shall not depart out of your mouth. You know, so you're always speaking that word. Yeah, and it's powerful. The Bible says that Jesus said it himself. God is a spirit. John 4:24. And, you know, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And Father is looking for such. You know, worshipers. Yeah, that when you are more connected with the Father like that, the power is just going to be flowing. You wouldn't even be screaming and yelling and praying for hours. You did the praying for hours in his presence as worship. See, that's it. You know, the long prayers should really be for worship. The long prayers. Just in his presence, just adoring him, just loving on him, just worshiping him. The time is just gone. You're just worshiping, you're repeating his word. You're building spiritual capacity that way. But when you now face situation, it's quick. You know, quick prayer, quick word. It's happening. Because the Father, you engage the Father in the secret, you're now rewarding you openly. Praise the Lord. Spiritual neglect, you know, will drain or restrict that power. You know, again, you know, remember we talked about the flesh. Flesh, you know, Galatians 5 and 17 talks about the flesh is contrary to the spirit. Always contrary. So, you know, walking in the flesh, doing the things of the flesh, like even schisms, we talked about that in our recently concluded series on unity. Paul said, look, while there are divisions among you and you're saying, I belong to this, I belong to that, I said, you are still carnal. So those things restrict and will suffocate and choke the power of God. Just like the kinks and the calcium deposits and the debris will choke that water in that hose coming out. Now, fear is another one. Fear will completely paralyze the mandate and call of God in somebody's life. Fear. Jesus said to Peter, come. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, you bid me come. Huh? The Lord said, well, come now. So that call was there to come. And Peter actually stepped out on that call at first. But then fear. You know, when his mind began to look around, instead of staying focused on the Christ, his mind began to look around and say, I can't walk on water. But yes, you can, because you are not walking on water, you are walking on the call. The call said, come. That's it. It's not the water you are walking on. It didn't matter whatever it was. Jesus said, come. That's it. You know, you step out on that call. Now, fear would diminish that mandate. It would just destroy it. You know, and so Peter began to sing. But you know the rest of the story. Jesus helped him. You know, so there are some practical steps of how we can increase this power that works in us. I'm still going to give you the acronyms to the power. But just, you know, just think of that power as the Holy Spirit power that's inside of us. Power to do exploits even. Daniel 11:32, the last part says, the people that do know they are God. See, that's a knowledge that Paul was praying about in Ephesians 1 and 18. He said, you know, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, people that know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. Exploits. Hebrews chapter 11 is full of exploits. As a chapter 11 of Hebrews still being written today, is your name in there? Say, by faith, put your name there. You know, some exploits that you did. It could have been you believed for something that they said cannot happen. Maybe the law of the land said it one way, you believed opposite. And you got it anyway. Because you understood, you know, these things that we're talking in this lesson. Yeah. But fear, no. Fear wouldn't, you know, fear will just diminish that. So here's how you can here's how you can increase the power of God in you. First of all, we must get into a closer walk with God. A closer walk with God. Because, you know, it is the Father in us that's doing the work. You know, when the Philip one day, when he was saying, Lord, you know, Jesus kept saying, you know, look, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Always talking about the Father and this and that. You know, the disciples were thinking about it, but one day Philip was bold and I said, look, this whole thing about the Father and so on, why don't you show us the Father? And that's cool. Show us the Father already. And Jesus said, wow. Have you been with me all this time, Philip? And you're still asking me to show you the Father? You still don't know that the Father is in me and I am in him? Why are you asking me to show you the Father when you've already seen me? Philip said, no, I've seen you. I haven't seen the Father. He said, look, so you don't believe that it is the Father in me that's doing the works? You know, if you don't believe that, well, believe for the work's sake. You know, so, you know, this is, it's the depth of the relationship that we have with God. That's the according to the power that works in you. And when we give you the acronym for the power, it will make even more sense. You know, the power is his presence. That's it. The presence of God, it's not our performance. You know, it's presence. It's not our performance. You know, sometimes we put on a show. You know, it's not about that. It's the presence of God. It's not even the greatness of the buildings that we construct. That's not what makes the presence of God, you know, more real or more awesome. God can be as real in your backyard, your bathroom, and the mechanic shop. You are in some dirty environment, not dirty by sin, dirty by just bush and things. That doesn't mean anything to God. The moment his presence comes there, it becomes holy ground. We saw that in Exodus chapter 3. Moses was there, saw the burning bush. As far as Moses was concerned, you know, it was dirt. It was on the bush, you know. I mean, there were probably lizards on the ground, leaves, dead leaves, dirt, and so forth on the ground. But that's what you see in the backside of the desert. You know, but God called it holy ground. Because the moment the presence was, Moses didn't realize it was holy ground. God had to tell him. Ah! As he was coming closer, I said, stop! Right there. The place, you see, now, Moses was walking, but he was getting close to a place. There was a place, you know. The bush that was burning, the fire wasn't spreading. It wasn't everywhere. So, the non-holy ground, the regular ground, was where Moses was. But as he was approaching, he got close to that place where that fire and the influence of that fire was. But it wasn't the fire that would make the bush to be burning. No, just something. It was the glowing presence of God. As he got close, God told him, no, stop. The place where you are is holy ground. You know, so it's the presence of God that makes the difference in everything. As a matter of fact, anything that is not anointed by God's presence is of no value to God. That's why Jesus was saying, you know, stuff like in Luke chapter 16, you know, verse 6, verse 15, he was saying, look, all these things that you guys value greatly, that have not the anointing of God is not on it, but you value it, it's of no value to God. It's an abomination even to God. The things which are so highly esteemed among men, accolades and you know, our performance, you know, so we put on a show on television, you know, we put on a show for healing of the sick. We do all of these things and so forth. All of that, you know, Jesus never put on a show. In fact, you know, he always told people, don't tell anybody, you know, but they did. It's not all of that. It's his presence. And the more we can connect and stay connected with that presence, the more of his power we will experience in our lives. Glory to God. Now, so that's one way to experience more of that power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power after not before, after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And so you must stay connected with the Holy Spirit. Stay connected with Him. Stay connected. Let Him speak to you. Let Him feel you. Let Him lead you. Stay connected in worship. And then number two is the Word of God. The Word of God. It's a fire. It's a hammer. Jeremiah 23 and 29. The Word of God, Hebrews 4 and 12, is powerful, is sharper. Think of even surgical instruments. You're going to do a surgery, they have, the instruments that they are going to use to make the incision and all these things. The Bible says the Word of God is sharper than all those things. It's sharper even physical sword that you carry in battle. Word of God is sharper than those things. The Word of God is a fire. It's a hammer. My goodness. When you use it, someone once said, scripture snacks. Energy is like you take an energy drink. Well, I take an energy drink, get a hold of some scripture. Amen. Yeah, that's what I do. Get a hold of some scripture. Praise God. Use that power in that scripture. Let's read Jeremiah 23 and verse 29 and see, how powerful the Word of God is. Is not my word like as a fire? The Lord said, saith the Lord. And is it not like a hammer? I break the rock in pieces. This is the Word of God. This is what God Himself is saying. He said, my word is as a fire. And my word is as a hammer. You want to break down some things, get a hold of some scriptures. That's right. That's right. That's how you do it. I preached a message some time ago. I said, look, you want to slay a giant? Well, grab a few stones and your sling. Those few stones represent the Word of God. Find some few powerful promises. Put your faith, that's your sling. And you go out against the giant and bring that giant down. Glory to God. So the Word of God is a fire. The Word of God is a hammer. The Lord said that Himself. So we've seen the Holy Spirit, get connected, stay in the Spirit. Saturate yourself with the Word of God. Because it's a fire. And then, a life of prayer. Prayer is what stirs up. Jude 20 says, build up yourself. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Stir something up in there. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Prayer stirs something up with you. Within you. Pray in the Spirit daily. That's right. Build a prayer pattern. Daniel, he made prayer business. Had routine. Some of these religions, they also have business. Time they pray and all these things. And the early church too, they had prayer time. And they set it apart. In the book of Acts chapter 3, the miracle of the man, Peter and John healed going to the temple there. I said, at the hour of prayer, they are going to the temple. So there was a set time. They had a set time. And so, make prayer a routine. A part of your, I don't say that routine to mean to take the power out of the prayer. I mean, on a schedule. Put it on your schedule. Because if you don't, and you'll find the whole day will just fall away. David said, I praise the Lord 7 times. Well, he set a schedule for it, I'm sure. Praying early in the morning, like Jesus did, sometimes just get away from all the hustle and bustle and find a place to just pray. Let it all out. Come back some other time. Every time that you feel something going on, you go, you know, well, get away and go and recharge. Prayer is that thing that recharges us. You know, these are the practical steps. And then it's so powerful for you to walk in obedience. Obedience. Acts chapter 5 verse 32 tells us that the Holy Spirit is given to them who obey him. Obedience, that means you respond quickly and completely. Don't be like Saul that said, well, I've done the commandment of the Lord. But you know, you didn't do it. You just did some part of it. Do it quickly and completely. That's obedience. Obedience must be prompt and it must be complete. You know, obedience that is partial might cause us a lot of problems. And we don't want that in our lives. You know, God put Samuel there. Put Saul there. But in 1 Samuel 15, we see a great, great error. Because Saul did not completely obey the word of the Lord. He did part of it, but he went against some of it. And he was arguing in his mind that I've done the commandment of the Lord. And he lost, you know, the right to the throne for that. Now, so when we walk in obedience, it must be prompt and it must be complete. You know, you can't dilly-dally because, you know, there's a timing to everything. God's telling you to do something. There may be a reason why he's telling you now and didn't tell you 3 hours later. And if you are not sure, ask the Lord for the timing. The action God wants you to take now, you delay it for 3 hours. It may cost somebody their life, you know, and then the blood will be required from your hands. So take the action and do it completely, like he said. And in case you have trouble understanding the instruction, ask the Holy Spirit. Many of us fail to do that. We just, God tells us something, we think we understand it, and then we go about it, whereas we didn't understand it. Take time to ask the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And, you know, you must also exercise your faith. Power in us grows through use of our faith. It's that currency that the more you use it, the more you have. Unlike our money today, the more you use it, if you only have so much and you are using it and don't bring more in, it will be depleting. That's the opposite of faith and God's power. The more you use it, the more you get. You know, so you use it, you get more. We saw the man who used his talent, had five, used it, got five more. At the end, he got even more stuff. You know, and the one that didn't use it, he lost it. So it's like use it or lose it. But if you use it, it'll grow. You know, it grows. Take faith. You know, use your faith daily. But by faith, people did all those things that were written in Hebrews 11. They were ordinary people. And without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. You want to please the Lord? Well, show some faith. Praise the Lord. You know, anything that God has promised, show some faith and trust him. I gave an acronym for faith before. I will give one for power. And I will. But I gave an acronym for faith before. It's fully and intentionally trusting him. You know, you're not, you look, he says it, you take it, you act on it. Intentionally. Praise the Lord. That's your faith. Now, purifying our vessel, you know, through holiness, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 21 says, a sanctified vessel is necessary for the master's use. You know, it's made necessary. I mean, you need, you know, make yourself appropriate, make yourself available, make yourself suitable for the master's use. The things that will make our vessel to not be sanctified and not purified. Say, look, you got to purify. Say, in a great house, there are many vessels. Some unto honor, some unto dishonor, and all these things. If a man purge himself for all the negative stuff, he will be a pure vessel, made for the master's use. You got to purge yourself from unforgiveness. You got to purge yourself from bitterness, you know, and all other things, you know. All transgression of the law is sin. Anything that is unpleasant and, I mean, unpleasing to the Father. In the book of 1 John 3:22, it says, look, we receive whatever we ask of him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing his sight. As you've heard me before, I call that active and passive obedience. Obedience, you know, complete that way. The things God has actively commanded, we're doing it, or point blank commanded. And even if he hasn't commanded, but we know it pleases him, we're doing it. Praise the Lord. You know, purify our vessel from unforgiveness. God has commanded that. You know, bitterness, he has commanded. Let no root of bitterness spring up in you. I commanded all that. Get rid of all the walking in the flesh and so on. And then there's another power also that comes from community of believers. So powerful. You know, Psalm 133 says, you know, there the Lord commanded that blessing, even life forevermore. In the community of believers, so powerful. Yeah, that's why we are told not to forsake the assembly of one another. As the manner of some is, but you know, get together daily. Thank God for this platform. We're able to do it and to get together daily. We don't want to neglect or forsake the assembly of one another. Hebrews 10 and 25 will tell you about that. You know, the power of God, when people get together, so powerful. In the book of Acts chapter 4, when the disciples were being threatened, you know, Peter and John, after they healed that man and all so many other things, you know, they threatened them and said all kinds of things, you know. And they, you know, they went back to their company and they said, behold, Father, the threatenings of the people. And they prayed. The Bible says, and when they were prayed in Acts 4, verses 29 to 31, when they prayed together, the place was shaking where they were, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost again. They were filled in chapter 2, they were filled in chapter 4. I guarantee you, as many times as they got together and prayed like that. And so there's power in that community. It's so powerful. The result for all of this is the exceeding abundantly above. So that's it. It can go beyond, you know, your thoughts. Said you ask, it can go beyond your prayer, that's ask. It can go beyond your imagination, that's your thoughts. It can go beyond your, you know, can just grow. But let me explain again in simple terms this limitation that the power that's in us brings to the ability of ours, I mean, the ability from our side to experience the power of God in greater dimensions. Think of a little child. I've always used this illustration. You know, tell them to count. You know, some of them that are smart, they can count a lot, maybe to 1,000 or so. And then stop. Somebody that's a little older, get an account. Maybe they can count more. And so on and so forth. Even adults, some of us cannot count beyond a certain number. And you just can't. You just get somewhere and then you stop. That's your mind. You know, I played with my grandkids all the time about this. They are a little older now and a lot smarter. And they were much smaller. I said, you know, ask me for money. Ask me for a quarter. They ask me for a quarter, I can give them 2 quarters. They'll be jumping up and down because I gave more than they could ask or think. Yeah, the level of their capacity, they couldn't even think about a dollar then. You don't even know what a dollar was. Just a quarter. I give them a quarter. I'm so excited. Give them a little more than a quarter. I'm so excited. But as they begin to grow up, they finally figured out that quarter, that's nothing. I want a dollar. Grandpa, can I have a dollar? They figure that out. I say, sure. You know, they also knew that grandpa is good for it. Yeah, that's another thing with kids. They're so wonderful. They teach you a lot of lessons. They know that grandpa is good for it. You know, I come. They say, hey, can I have a dollar? The dad will say, what's the magic word? I don't say that. I just know they're kids. But their dad will say, hey, what's the magic word? Yeah, telling them how to be polite and so forth and say, please. Yeah. It's so interesting. But, you know, one day they figure out that even a dollar is not enough. Next time you grow there, a dollar is like, a dollar? I want $5. You know, so, I mean, on and on like that. It's the great lessons you learn from these kids. Yeah. And that's it. The level, the capacity. You see, the kid that's asking for 20, you know, a quarter, can't even think of $5. Doesn't know what it is. You know, now the kid that's figured out a dollar doesn't want a quarter anymore. They're going beyond. Yeah. But maybe they can't figure out $5 yet. On and on and on. The same thing. You know, two people go out to buy a car. You know, one person is thinking their budget. They say, well, I buy a car. I mean, how are you going to spend $10,000 on a car? And that's ridiculous. And get one for $5,000. Because they can't just imagine how you could spend $5,000, $10,000 on a car. What do you mean? I get one for $5,000. And that person says, you know, they won't even look at the car that's $10,000. You know, they'll be looking at the one that's in the $40,000 because that's their capacity. They believe they can buy a car in $40,000 and so on. And the person that's trying to buy a car for $40,000, when they hear that somebody buys a car for, say, $60,000 or $70,000, they're like, that's crazy. Why would you spend $60,000 or $70,000 on a car when I can get one for $40,000? See? You know, one is thinking that, you know, their level is $5,000. The other one is thinking their level is in the 40s. And then there are these other ones, you know, that are thinking, they can't even buy a car for $5,000. In fact, you know, there's some car shops, if you go there and ask for the price, then they know that you cannot afford it. You know, that's the echelon. That's how these people are at the top, you know. They don't ask for the price of the car. They just, the color. This is what I want. I want the interior, this, that. Doesn't matter what the price is. And they bring it to them in their house. That's it. You know, you go to some shops, some real top shops, they don't put price tags on these things. If you're there looking up for price tag, they know you don't belong. You already see you're looking for price. This guy doesn't belong here. Don't waste the time of the salesperson. They know you can't buy anything because you are looking at the price tag. That's why those classy stores, that's why they don't put the price tag. You just, people who want those things, they just go there and buy them. They don't think about the price. If you're there still thinking about the price, then you can't afford it. It's way beyond your level. Praise God. You know, these are things that happen to us in real life. Use it to understand what we are talking about here. It's the same concept. Praise the Lord. So that's lesson one in this series. I'm going to leave it there. But before I go, I'm going to give you an acronym for POWER. Then I'm going to come and expound this POWER acronym in the next subsequent lessons. But before I do, let me round up what we have talked about today. We started with Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Now, not only is he able to do what we ask or think, He can exceed it. And not only can he exceed it by just a little bit, can exceed it by a great deal. You know, I love to watch track and field. And yesterday I was watching somebody that broke a record by a great deal. Was it just a little bit? You know, you can break the record by micro beats, you know, just a little fraction of a second. Or you can break it in a sprint. You can break it. If you break it by half a second, it's like, my goodness, you know, or you're doing, you know, some of those middle distances and you break the record by 2 or 3 seconds. That's huge, you know, and so on and so forth. So God can do exceeding abundantly above, you know, all that we can ask or think. You can think it, he can do it. In fact, one time God said to Abraham, after that Lot has separated from him, you know, and that's after. Yeah, because God called Abraham alone. Abraham was the one that brought Lot along. That was trouble. But he did it out of the goodness of his heart. But the real blessing couldn't come, you know, until Lot was separated. But God called him alone. And then when God, you know, when Abraham had, when Lot had separated from Abraham, well, that's what he said. And the Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot had separated from him, said this to him in Genesis 13, and verse 14, it said, lift up now thine eyes and look, you know, from where you are. But look, you know, look beyond. Don't just think of yours. Don't be limited by where you are. You know, where you are right now is not the end of the book. You know, yesterday I spoke under the influence of the Holy Spirit and I said, God, put a book in your hand. The page that you are on now may appear blank, but you got to write something in it. You are not at the end of the book yet. You know, so today, God said, look, don't limit yourself to where you are right now. You know, from where you are right now, look, you know, see more to get more. So you got to see more to get more. Visionaries, that's how they are made. Created like there are people that can see things that don't even exist yet. That's how we get all this technology and stuff. You know, say, look from the place where you are. Don't limit yourself to your current situation. Look beyond your current situation. Look to the east, look to the south, look to the west, look to the north. For all that you can see or visualize. That's it. If you can visualize it, I can give it to you. And then some. You know, Ephesians now tells us, and then some. If you can think it, God can do it, and then some. But don't limit yourself to your current situation. Why? You know, the Bible says, enlarge the place of your tent. You know, Isaiah 54. You know, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. You know, you break forth on the left and right. Why do you limit yourself to your current situation? Because Abraham was thinking, you know, because Lot, he picked the better of the place. Say, look, you go left, I go right. You go this. And so Lot came out and found all the ones that looked green. He chose that. And Abraham said, okay, cool. You know, in honor, preferring one another. Abraham actually did that. But God will come and reward him and say, look, don't worry about it. Don't limit yourself because now you think that you ended up with the short end of the stick. No. He said, I want you to visualize. Glory to God. Visualize. And if you can visualize it, I'll give it to you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, some people in this room today, you need to visualize more. Praise God. Now, here's a power acronym for you. And this is one acronym. I actually have about two or maybe even three. But here's one. P. You know, and then this is with respect to this lesson and this series. Remember, we're talking about according to the power, P-O-W-E-R, that worketh in us. And we're talking about how do you develop and grow and increase that power. Pursue his presence. So the P is for pursue and it's also for presence. It's not for performance. It's not for our own performance. It's for pursuing his presence. It is the you know, I don't want to say quantity because you can't really quantify God, but it is the greatness of his presence in us, you know, the level to which his presence manifested in us. That's where it comes from. I'll be talking about each of these things. O is to obey. We already talked about obey today. W is for walking in the word. There you have it. And E is for engaging in prayer. R is to release your faith. So, that's one acronym. I can give you two or three more. But this one is good. Tomorrow I'll ask you what that acronym was. So write it down. P, pursue his presence. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't seek anything else. You pursue that. Seek. That means you're actively looking. It's not that you're just wishing that it happens. No. Jesus said, if a woman lost a coin, don't you think she's going to, or some precious jewel, wouldn't she be looking everywhere until she found it? And then when she finds it, rejoice. Same thing as a shepherd that lost a sheep. Seeking involves actively looking, not just sitting down and wishing or hoping that something happens. No. You're actively seeking, actively pursuing his presence. You know, and of course, obey my voice. It's something that God always told them. The entire Old Testament was about obey my voice, obey my voice, obey my voice. If you obey my voice indeed, then you will be a peculiar treasure unto me. Exodus 19:5-6. You'll be a treasure above all. So obey my voice. You know, walking in the word is also the same thing as walking in the spirit. You got to walk in the word. You got to walk in the spirit. And E, engage in prayer. There's also another E. I'll talk to you more about some of these acronyms. And then R, you got to release your faith. You can't, you know, if you don't release your faith, you know, you will be, you have stunted growth at best. You know, once God has spoken, release your faith on the thing that God has spoken. And that's the power. That's what makes Ephesians 3:20 a living reality in our lives. I'm going to come back by the grace of God in subsequent lessons and cover this power acronym some more. To God be the glory. I'm going to pray over the room now, and I want to engage some, those of you who are wherever you are right now, like God engaged Abraham. Said, look, don't look at your current condition as though that's it. Just because Lot took the better thing from you. Remember the sermon, ladies and gentlemen, of there is that glitters and it's not gold. Or there is something at present that is not glittering, but yet inside of it is gold. I'm going to tell Abraham, look, yeah, you think you've been shafted because he took the better place. Don't worry about it. Don't consider the situation where you are in now as though it's the end. It's not the end. I want you to visualize. And I'm going to give it to you. Praise God. Now, I want to challenge everybody that's in the room today to visualize. Now, look from the place where you are. Now, this place where you are. You are here today. But where are you going to be tomorrow? Where are you going to be in a, you know, if the Lord tarries in a few more days and so on. On a few more weeks, a few more years and so forth. See the greatness. More you can see, visualize the more, all the land that you can see, the Lord told him. Well, Abraham, there were some other things that were limiting him in that scene. You know, if there were trees and things in front of him, they would limit his vision. So you have to go a little higher. That's horizon. Faith horizons. That's another sermon you should check out. You know, you could go higher so that you go above anything that will be blocking your line of vision. And then you can see, you know. Now, generally, people in those days, they would go to the top of a hill to be able to see the land ahead of them. Even the devil, he used that trick. He brought Jesus to a high mountain and then he showed him things. You know, you go, you elevate, and then you can see more. And when you see more, you get more. Glory to God. That's the principle about God. It's always according to the power that works in you. It can do more, but it can't do too much more because you can't even believe for it. But if you can grow that faith, then he can do more. It's like elastic, you know, and you stretch your faith, stretch the level of your imagination, then God can exceed that. You stretch some more, you stretch some more, he exceeds it. So Father, I pray for your people that's in the house today. Let faith rise in our hearts, in the hearts of the people who believe the word of God that we have spoken to you. That not only are you able to meet our needs, but to do more and to exceed even what we can think and ask. But we got to develop that power, that presence, that obedience, walking in the spirit, walking in the word. Lord, and energizing through prayer and releasing our faith. I pray, Lord, that these principles will stay with your people, the entrance of your word, bringing light and giving understanding, even on this day. Thank you, Father. I give you, Lord, praise. I give you glory. Now, all the blockers that are against the power of God manifesting fully in our lives, pray, Lord, that you give us knowledge and understanding. Come against the spirit of disobedience. Come against, you know, all these things, unforgiveness, bitterness, and so forth. You know, fear, all the things that will diminish doubt. Jesus said, if you can't believe it and you do not doubt it, you can have whatsoever you say. And we see that fear would diminish the call of God in our lives. We pray, Lord, help us, Lord, to eliminate fear, eliminate doubt, walk in boldness and faith and power. And as we use these things and exercise ourselves in these things, we trust that they will increase even more and more. The power of God will be more and more evident in our lives. Thank you, Father. To God be the glory. I give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.